So if you want to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1, we're going to read a little bit from there as we look over several places in Daniel briefly this morning. But in Daniel chapter 1 is where we're going to begin. Daniel's an awesome book. It's incredible. If you've got time, I say this about every hero so far that I've been preaching on, Stephen and Mary Bethany and Daniel, but it's just incredible to look at his life. Now, Daniel's one of those easy people to kind of pick out and say, well, you know, he's a hero of the Scripture. He's a hero of the Bible. But there's a reason for that. And so I want to begin in Daniel chapter 1 as we read this. And if you've got your Bible, follow along. And if you don't, the words will be up here. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king offered Ashpenaz, chief of the court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. Now he was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. And the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter into the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names to Daniel: the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king, who's assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of age? And the king would then have my head because of you." And Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in according with what you see." And so he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier, better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. And so the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and instead gave them vegetables. And to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And at the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel was born in the land of Judah, in Israel. That's where he was born. And when he became about 14 years old, Israel was overthrown by the empire of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire came into Israel and overthrew it. Jeremiah, Isaiah, many prophets before had already been foretelling that this was going to happen. Why? Because the people of Israel were not living according to the way God wanted them to live. They were living sinful lives. They were not living according to the law that God had given them. And they kept saying, there will be a northern kingdom that will come in and overthrow you. Now, a lot of times when a kingdom would come in and overthrow another country, what would happen? They would overthrow that country, they would set up their rule there, and they would overthrow those people, and maybe they would use them as slaves. It was a little bit different in the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire, which is modern-day Iraq, and King Nebuchadnezzar came into Israel and overthrew it. He just didn't set up reign there and keep the people there and make them slaves. He took the people who were leaders. He took the people who had potential. And they took those people, those leaders, those people that could get people to follow them. He took those people and they spread them out over the whole Babylonian Empire. They dispersed them all over. And so Daniel and his three friends, among many others, were taken from Judah. And they went on a 4 to 5 month journey all the way to Babylon at 14 years old. And at 14 years old, he and his three friends find themselves asked to enter into some training to be able to go into the king's service. They were given new names. Their names all had to do with our God, the one and only true God. And Nebuchadnezzar gave them new names that had to do with all the gods of the Babylonian Empire. And so they had new names. They were in a new land. There was new culture. There was a new religion. There was a new way of doing things. Their whole world had been turned upside down, and they had taken a five-month journey to a land that they had never seen. They were 14 and 15 years old. And so that's where we pick up with Daniel. If you were to ask anybody to read the book of Daniel and say, what's the number one thing you see in Daniel's life? You may see different things. Some people would say, you know, what impacts me most about Daniel is his courage. And the courage to be able to stand up in times when it was difficult. Or some people would say it would be his faithfulness. The fact that he was true to God, he didn't let down. And all those things are true and right. But this morning what I want us to look at is the integrity of Daniel. And what does it mean to have integrity? As I read through all those chapters in Daniel and look at all the different events of his life, and there's lots of times where we see throughout the book of Daniel where he stands for the Lord, we see a person of integrity. A lot of you know what people without integrity look like. You can think of leaders, maybe community leaders or political leaders who've fallen because of a lack of integrity. You may think of an employer who had a lack of integrity that you had to work for. You may have been a part of a church or seen church leadership that you felt like had a real lack of integrity. But the opposite's probably true as well. You've seen community leaders and you've seen church leaders and you've had employers that were just the opposite. If you were to describe them, you would say they were full of integrity. You know, I followed them easily. What they said, their words had weight in my life, and I enjoyed being around them. I wanted to model my life after them. What is it that sets people apart, people without integrity and people that do have integrity? What's the difference in them? Well, I'm going to share with you three things this morning. And the three things that I talk about this morning that I want to encourage is these three things all look exactly alike. They mirror each other. This is a life of integrity, the three things that we're going to talk about. They each mirror each other in the same way. A life without integrity doesn't. They don't look alike. The first thing I want to talk with you about this morning in terms of a life of integrity is consistency. Consistency. Maybe the word you want to remember or write down would be actions. As we think about what does it mean to live a life of integrity, it has a lot to do with our actions and the consistency of our actions. We see a pattern in Daniel's life. From the age of 14 to the age of 85 at the end of Daniel, we see a pattern in his life, a consistent pattern of faithfulness, of courage, of saying yes to God and no to pressure. We see a consistent pattern coming to Babylon at 14 and saying, you know what, I'm resolved not to defile myself. Being asked to bow down and serve King Nebuchadnezzar, to pray to him and saying, no, I'm not going to do that, and being thrown into a lion's den. Being brought before king after king. We know that Daniel served under 6, maybe 10 or 12 kings during the time that he was in Babylon. And brought before the king over and over and over because they heard that he could interpret dreams and given the option of interpret this dream or die. And to be able to do that consistently over and over and over and live for the Lord. Consistency is this. I want to encourage you with this morning. As you think about living a life of consistency, a life of where your actions show who you are and who God is think in terms of life as a marathon. The life that you and I are living, the journey that we're on, it's a marathon. It is a journey. We've used that term here before. It's one in which it takes endurance and it takes consistency. It takes sticking with it. For you and I, one of the things that if when we begin to get into our mind and into our habit of living and into our habit of thinking is, it's not just today. See, I don't just stand and fall on today. Mark was talking about that earlier. Maybe you messed up this week. What does that mean for you? Well, it means that when you got up the next day, God's mercies were new and He saves you again. Not that you lost your salvation, but He continually saves you. And it's not just your life doesn't rise and fall on the success of one day of your week or one day of your month, either whether it's a success or a failure. Our life is measured in the days in which we live, and it's every day. It's a marathon. We keep at a pace. We keep going. And when we fall down, we get back up. And what happens is so many of us so often, and there's been periods, so many periods in my life as well, where we approach life like it's a 100-yard dash. You know? And it's like, okay, I've rededicated, I'm ready to recommit, and I'm just going to like burn out. And we do. And the first time that we see something that opposes us, or the first time we fall, the first time we fail, the first time we disappoint ourselves, or we feel like we've really disappointed God, we just give up. We just give up. We quit. We don't get back up and start running. We just kind of quit until the next revival comes along. Until the next time I can be inspired. And so what happens is I'll run a 100-yard dash, and you know what? Maybe in about 3 or 4 weeks, I'll run another one. But in between, I'm not doing anything. What happens in a marathon's about 26, I hear, I wouldn't know, 26.2 miles. A person who runs a marathon has consistency. They get up. And you know what happens? We do a little bit every day. You read a little bit of the Word every day. You pray just a little bit throughout the day. You encourage your spouse a little bit every day. A little bit every day you spend time listening to your kids one-on-one. You just do that a little bit every day. And you don't hit yourself and beat yourself up because you're not perfect in all those areas, so I'm just not going to do anything. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, we run another 100-yard dash. What God wants is consistency. It's that every day we do just a little bit. And the next day, we do just a little bit more. And the next day, we do just a little bit more. We just read a little bit more Scripture. We spend a little bit more time with God. We spend a little bit more time trying to connect with people that follow the Lord, that we want to build relationships with. And you know what happens? You know what happens for you and I? Let's just say that in a month, you run about 8 100-yard dashes. I mean, you have about 8 really good days for Jesus, and in between, it's not any good at all. Don't even really try. Don't even think on Him. Don't try to do anything. About 8 days a month, we run about a 100-yard dash. But let's just say you're a marathon runner. Let's say you have that mindset that every day you're going to run in a month, 26 miles in a month, 30 days in a month. What? That's less than a mile a day. That's less than, you can walk that no matter in just a few minutes. Let's just say that every day you get up and you say, you know what, I'm just going to spend a little bit of time with God. I'm just going to pray to Him a little bit throughout the day. I'm going to try to connect with people that God enjoys. I'm going to try to encourage the people in my life just a little bit. I'm going to listen just a little bit. I'm going to be joyful just a little bit. I'm going to do just a little bit every day. You know what's going to happen? At the end of the month, you're going to see a big difference from somebody who runs a 100-yard dash and somebody who's a marathon runner. You know what happens at the end of a year? At the end of the year, if you're a marathon runner, you will have run 314 miles. If you're a 100-yard dasher, you'll have run a little under 6 miles. 314 miles compared to 6 miles. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. But the difference is this. It's not that I'm going to conquer everything today, and if I don't live perfect tomorrow, if I don't conquer everything, if I'm not the perfect person in the Word and in prayer and with my family and on the job, and if I'm not the perfect person every day, I'm just going to give up. No, that's not it. That's not it. It's every time you fall. Integrity is this. Integrity is not just how you do on the good days. Integrity is measured by how you do on the bad days. How do you respond? What do you do when you fall down? What do you do when you fail? Daniel said this. The Word says this in Daniel chapter 6. It says that there had been an edict decreed from the leaders of Babylon to say that everyone was to bow down and worship the king. Okay? David didn't do that. David worshiped the Lord, and he prayed to Him 3 times a day. Listen to verse 10, Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. Look at those last few words. Just as he had done before. All the years leading up to that, Daniel prayed 3 times a day to the Lord. And when the edict came down that you're to worship Nebuchadnezzar, you're to bow down to him, you're to serve him. If you don't serve him, then you're going to be thrown into a lion's den, you're going to be executed. What did Daniel do? He said when he found out about the edict, he went straight back up to his room. He faced toward Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had done before. There was consistency in his life. Consistency. He was not the man at 14 that he would be at 24. He was not the man at 24 that he would be at 40. There was consistency. Consistency. Second thing is this. Not only is it your actions, but our actions is what... The second thing would be our beliefs. these two things need to look the same. And it's actually our beliefs that fuel our actions. It's our beliefs that give our actions meaning, that give them direction. Now, see, you can have all these kind of actions right here. You can have big old actions, little bitty beliefs. And if they don't measure up, your life is not going to be one of integrity. It won't be. Daniel had beliefs. One of the things that helped Daniel was that when he was growing up in Judah, he was growing up, during the most part, under the reign of Josiah, King Josiah. You know what the Scripture says about Josiah? In 2 Kings, it says this about Josiah. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. That's the kind of king that, for the most part, Daniel grew up under, Josiah. And so he had that kind of model. He had that kind of teaching in his life. When Daniel was faced with having to eat the king's food, it said he resolved not to defile himself. He believed, I'm to be faithful to the Lord. In his teaching, in his religion, there were certain foods you shouldn't eat. And he wanted to be faithful to the Lord at 14 in a foreign land with the threat of being executed. When he faced threats and having to interpret dreams for different kings, you know what he said? Listen to this, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel said before pagan king, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he's asked about. He's standing before the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. King Belshazzar asked David to come in and interpret another dream for him. And he says this to him. He says, Daniel, if you can interpret this dream, I'll put a gold chain around your neck. I'll give you, he said, I'll make you the third highest ruler in the kingdom. And I'll clothe you with purple. Daniel chapter 5 says this. You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. What's that say? He believed it wasn't about what you possess. Things, being third in the kingdom, being clothed in purple, given a gold chain around your neck, that didn't matter to him. What mattered to him was that he served the Lord with all of his heart. What Daniel believed guided his actions. Paul said in the New Testament, watch your life and doctrine closely. Why? Because what you believe will guide what you do. Now, let me ask you this. Based on what you do, what do your beliefs look like? Based on what you do, what your life looks like and your actions, what do your beliefs look like? Now listen, when I ask you, what do your beliefs look like? I'm not asking you, do you believe God is real? Do you believe Jesus is God's Son? Do you believe Jesus died for your sins? I'm not asking you that. Because most people in here on those three things, is God real? Is Jesus God's Son? Did He die for your sins? Most everybody in here would say yes, yes, and yes. But let me ask you if you believe this. Do you believe that God deserves your best every day? Do you believe that Jesus died for your present and future sins? Do you believe that? Do you believe that your life is not your own? Somebody's purchased it for you. Somebody purchased it and He owns you, and the way you live your life is totally for Him. Listen, it's not just about the basic beliefs that we can just recite to anybody else. Does my life look like I believe God deserves my best? Does my life look like the fact that I know and I believe Jesus has forgiven my present and future sins? Does my life look like the fact that He owns me? I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. That's what the Scripture says. Do you believe that? If you do, it'll transform your actions. Take the first question. Daniel believed that the Lord deserved His best every day. Beyond believing that there is a God, beyond believing that God's loving, beyond believing that you're just supposed to show up to worship, beyond believing that three times a day he was supposed to get on his knees and bow toward Jerusalem, and that would create something in his life that would make him a godly person. He believed beyond that. It wasn't just the actions. Have you ever fallen into the habit? I've done this. I've done this plenty of times. Where the times in your life where you just felt like that if you just kind of show up, you know, that not a lot happens through the week, but if you'll just kind of show up, that'll be enough to help you, or God will be pleased with that, or that'll change my life, you know? I mean, it's almost like if you think about, you know, you ever worked a job where you use a time card? Some of you do. You use a job where you punch a time card, you go in, take your time card, slip it in. All kinds of different time cards. Some of them, you know, knock little holes out, show you the time. Some of them print the time of the day when you came in. You put it back in, prints the time of the day as you came out. You know, in some places are really fancy. They just have a little card and you swipe it. It's electronic, you know, and it just records you when you clocked in and when you clocked out. Some of us would say, you know what? I've been a Christian for 37 years. I've been a Christian for 37 years. I've clocked in and clocked out every day of my life. You know? It's almost like that. I'm a Christian. So you know what? Every day when I wake up, I clock it in, and every night I clock it out because I'm a believer. And on Sunday, I get bonus points, overtime, you know? I get paid extra for Sundays because I clock in and clock out on Sunday because that's where I'm really supposed to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. I clock in every day, and I clock out every day, and I clock in every day, and I clock out every day, and I clock in every day, and I clock out every day. And it's almost like we have the mentality that clocking in and clocking out and showing up. Just showing up. Our beliefs have not, our small beliefs, that these are the actions that we're showing. We're clocking in and clocking out. And we're going to get before God one day, and we're just going to show Him all of our time cards. And saying, God, look at this. I clocked in, I clocked out every day for 37 years. Aren't you proud? That's what we'll have to show Him. You know what He'll say? What did you do between the ins and the outs? What happened? What happened between in and out? How did your beliefs guide your actions? What was it? Consistency isn't enough. Showing up every day is not enough. How will your beliefs guide your actions? Integrity is between the ins and outs. It's what we do with it. Third thing is this. Not only is there actions and beliefs, but you know what else looks just like your actions and beliefs? This, if you were to hold your beliefs up to a mirror, this would just look just like it. And if you held your actions up to a mirror, this third thing would look just like it. These three things, when they line up and they look the same, your life is one of integrity. You know what the third thing is? It's your words. It's your words. Daniel's words matched his actions and his beliefs. You know what? For your words to match your actions, you don't have to be a sage. I mean, you don't have to, every word that comes off your lips doesn't have to be dripping with wisdom and you're going to change everybody's life that you speak to. It doesn't have to look like that. Our words need to have the weight of our beliefs behind them. Our words that we speak need to have the weight of our beliefs behind them. Is there weight to your words? When you speak, when you talk, is there weight to your words? Or is there a thought bubble to the people you're talking to that are going, whatever, whatever, as you speak? Because they know there's some people speak just because they like to hear themselves talk. Some people speak because they're a gossip. Some people speak because they're just consistently critical. When you speak, is there weight to your words? Do people know because of the actions of your life and the beliefs of your life that your words measure up with your life? They say it because your words don't support the weight of what you say you believe. I was sitting across the table from somebody not long ago. I told him I would do something. I said, I'm going to do this. Gave him my word. Was talking to him man to man, face to face, eye to eye. They asked me if I could put it in writing. I said, no. You know why? Because I want the weight of my life to support the words I just said to you. And I want you to know 6 months from now and 3 years from now and 10 years from now, it wasn't a piece of paper that motivated me to do what I said I would do for you. It was my life and the weight behind it. I meant what I said. I said what I meant. And I'll do exactly what I said. Listen, integrity's words and actions and belief measure up to each other. Have you ever been with your kids? You know, you're in the house and they're upstairs yelling. I mean, I've heard people talk about this before. I'm just, you know, it's other people's testimonies. And they're upstairs kind of yelling. And you go to the bottom of the stairs and you say, would you all stop yelling? I can't stand yelling in this house. No more yelling. My words really don't really support my actions, do they? You know what I'm saying? You ever have your kids and they're kind of out in the mall or they're somewhere, maybe a church, they get in a fight, they're kind of hitting each other, and you go, I told you to stop hitting. You know? I mean, we're yelling, saying don't yell. We're hitting, saying don't hit. And really, the actions of our lives don't support our words or our beliefs. So, let me ask you this. What kind of race are you in? I mean, when you live your life, what do your actions look like? I mean, are you running a lot of short little races? Or is it a life that says, you know what, a little bit every day is good. And the way I respond to adversity, that's what matters. I'm going to get up every day. I'm going to get up every day. I'm going to connect with God every day. I'm going to connect with people every day the way God wants me to. Do you do a little bit every day? Your beliefs, what do they look like? Do they support your actions? What do you do between the ins and the outs? What do you do between clocking in and clocking out? Do your beliefs support your actions and your words? Your words. Are you a person that when you speak, your words have weight? They have weight. You know why? Because those three things, when those three things look alike, you're a person of integrity. And when you speak, people respect you. And when you live your life, people want to know who Jesus is. And when your beliefs measure up, they want to know what's behind that. Why do you live that way? That's what impacts people, is integrity. What is your integrity? Let's pray together.